Log Talk Radio.
Hold on, let me get this right real quick.
You live on the Hangman Show.
I am.
Yes, you are. Thanks for
I'd like to speak to the Hangman.
The Hangman. Yeah, yeah. The Hangman. The Hangman is right here ready to talk to you.
What's up, Jay? That's my
Hey.
Hey. A great kicker. That was my main man. Just as crazy as he could be. A good time lawyer and just as nutty as a fruitcake. Also, the pink tees they use in the NFL, Jay is the one to develop that.
Wow, wow. Welcome to the Hangman Show. Let's talk football, Jay.
Well, I just wanted to just call in just to talk about my friend and my former teammate, Brooks. And what I wanted to talk about, and I think he'll agree, is that sometimes a defense can set the tone that the opponent's offense begins to understand. And what I mean by that is when we were playing on the D.C. Bears many, many years ago, the other teams knew that they were up against a defense that had a certain character of toughness and aggressiveness. And, for example, when Brooks was out there with his other cornerback and the safeties, nobody wanted to go across the middle because they knew they might leave the field on a stretcher.
that sounds like Hangman to me.
That's right. But they first have to get past guys like Joe Collins, and our defensive line was pretty mean as well. And so it sort of sent a message and set a tone that was very intimidating. And you know, that's the character that was conveyed to any team that we played. And Brooks can tell you the record we had over many years was pretty good, wasn't it, Brooks?
Only lost about 3 games, I can remember.
Wow.
We were winning a lot of games, and we did get a reputation. Matter of fact, they tried to get me suspended from the league, Hawk and myself.
I mean, I remember that when I would kick the ball off, I would always make sure, as soon as the ball was gone, to look up, because there's usually somebody from the other team trying to come and break my leg. But what was interesting about it was my teammates all protected me, and if anybody tried to do anything to me, there was swift retribution, as Brooks can tell you.
Right, absolutely. That's how I kicked.
That's right.
Jay won a lot of games from us. He won a lot of games for us, and we're not going to let anything happen to him. We got to protect. I can see if it was just anybody, that was one thing. We're talking about a great kicker that won us some big-time ball games and fit right in. He told the quarterback one time, you know, Jay is white, quarterback is black. Fleming came in, his kids were light-skinned. And Jay said, "What, them kids might be mine, Fleming. What, them kids might be mine." The whole locker room fell out.
And Fleming didn't say a word, did he?
No, he didn't say a word because we had that camaraderie. I mean, we didn't have problems.
Team. I was just glad I didn't have to send his kid through college.
You're right.
So, but you know, it was a fun time, and then Brooks went on surprisingly to many of us to be a great football coach and a great mentor, and he's actually been quite a legend around the D.C. area. I mean, I learned from Brooks. I know maybe this is not part of football, but all the gangs used to want to have their meetings with the opponent gangs in the courthouse. And the reason why was because they had to go through the metal detector before they got to the meeting.
Wow. Wow.
That's a true story, isn't that, Brooks?
Yeah, that was the day. I mean, guess what? And I'm trying to go right back to work again, right out back out the street. People say, "You're too old."
That's right, but
it's about
I know we're supposed to be talking football, but I just wanted to talk about my friend Brooks and what a great player he was on the Bears, and you know we were a very good team, but also when his playing days were done, he became a very, very important person in the community in terms of preventing the gangs from killing each other and calming things down as best he could, and being a real pillar of the community for many, many years, including even now. And so I'm proud to have had Brooks as my teammate and to have him as my friend. And, I was, what should we say, Brooks? I guess Scott and I were the token white guys on the team.
Nice.
Hey, guess what? We didn't care what color you were, because you were kicking those field goals.
What's up? I had a lot of fun, and I was going to law school at the time for part of the time, and my law school was in D.C. and so I always made sure if I had a Friday night class, it ended by 6:30, so I could jump in the car and drive over. And the way I would get to the field, we played our games at Banneker, so the way I would get to the field is I would wait until I smelled the Wonder Bread factory, and then I'd turn left.
And I appreciate it, man. I want you to come back, man. I'll have you as a special guest because you have a lot to talk about, especially you're a very prominent lawyer in the area, and we're proud of you also. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I'm proud to have invented all the football tees that are used in every organized football game now, and including the last 17 years in the National Football League. Every kickoff has been off one of my tees, and so that's been a lot of fun as well.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. That's amazing. And thanks for talking football with Hangman Brooks, and we look forward to you calling in again and being a part of the station and the movement.
Well, good. Well, good talking to you, Brooks, and good talking to you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Going to cut to a short break here, and we'll be right back with more with Hangman Brooks and Let's Talk Football.
I am in. make her hot like Blaine. Every step in the morning, then I probably pop the ring. Even though they started sicker than some tanga, and I'm bringing tanga. Yeah, he eats like fangas. To the ruddy boys, got some big plain tanga. And my girl, super thick, Johnny Don Dutch. And the stripper bitch, ball ripple like your night with a different bitch. And the niggas beating with no season, they're ignition bitch.
Like this guy, I met this guy, I couldn't believe what he was doing, and just all the stuff that he has done, and I was just amazed by it when I heard his story, and I just said, man, we got to get this guy in, and we got to get him here, man. So I'm glad he's here, man, to represent for the D.C. area, to represent for just, you know, positive black men out here, so we really appreciate that. We got our next caller. Thanks for calling in. You are now live with Hangman Brooks.
What's up, Brooks? This is Derek Barnes, man.
Who is this?
It's Derek Barnes.
What's up, gang? How you doing?
What's up, babe? Hey, I just had a question. I mean, it was basically, I value your opinion, man, about football, even though we get into it all the time about my Redskins. But the question that I had, man, I've been knowing you since I was 12, and I'm 46 now, so... You know, I've been knowing you a long time.
I know you're old.
Respect your opinion.
I know you're old, but don't tell my age. I know you're old. We used to go to school together.
Yeah. But the question I have with all of the football background that you have and all of the football, the players and everything that happens here in the D.C. area, why do you think that it really doesn't get a whole lot of hype or anything? It's more known as a basketball town. I mean, what do you think the reason is behind that? Is it the players are just? We just don't have a lot of players in the area that you know. What's the? Because it really wasn't a big deal when I was coming up.
Well, things change. They evolve over the years. Things change. But one thing about it is, at one time, it was really a basketball city because basketball is a glamorous sport. Guys run around in shorts. You can see their faces and whatever. And at one time, the media didn't give D.C. High school sports, a lot of times college, never gave them a lot of publicity, never gave them a lot of play. They were giving it to basketball. And a lot of great ball players came. We had over 100 NFL guys. From in high schools. People don't realize that some stayed a little longer, some stayed a little shorter. But see, the glamorous with Dave Bing and Elgin Baylor, Adrian Dantley, even Kurt Smith. See, that's the glamour of it. And the media controls a lot. When the media likes somebody or dislikes somebody or like a sport, guess what? People gravitate. But it's changing a lot. But that's the way it is. Some cities are different from others.
Yeah, I believe that to be true because I see over the years, I think in the past, I think since we came out of high school, like Pop and Kirby and all of them, they coach. They coach these. They have Marshall Height. They have the Metro Bing. I mean the Bengals. I forget the name of them, but however,
yeah,
they all. they all run it, like Jay Ford, they all run those little league football things. But the only time, you know, like when I was coming up, all we had was club ball, you know, 14 boys club and all of that. But it was more a basketball thing, and, you know, not even a baseball town either, you know. I mean, I even though I played baseball too, but it was just basketball was the thing, and that's what everybody was really trying to do at that time. So, you know, even Kelly Miller ended up having a football team after I left, you know what I mean? So it's really
you're
weird,
right.
and it's really weird how that worked out, but it is coming up to be a starting to begin to be a football town because,
yeah,
you know, you got the brother
it's the media control so much. It's the media.
Right.
You know, the media jumps on stuff. And, like, Marshall Heights football and the youth football in this city, they don't get any play from the Washington Post or the radio, you know.
Right.
980, all they talk about is, you know, pro sports. They don't mention anything about high school. If they talk about high school football, it's Virginia and Maryland. They never talk about D.C., you know.
Right.
And so, you know, the media controls a whole lot, you know. People listen to the media and they gravitate to it. But football is something that is beginning to get to play, but they all old-timers will tell you it's still a basketball city, but a lot of young people won't say that. They say it's football.
Right.
It's a new generation.
And that's
a hell of a question that you ask, and it's about the media. That's what it is.
Yeah, and the thing is, like for instance, the dude that played that won the Super Bowl and actually iced the Super Bowl for your Patriots is from H.D.
Yeah.
Wilson. You know,
yeah,
and a lot of people never
Big
even Ron heard Houston. Of him, Butler. Yeah,
you're right.
Nobody even knew that he was a D.C. player from D.C. until he made that interception in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the media, they're getting ready to pay the Patriots. Do you hear Washington media say we're going to have an interview with this guy? No. You know, Kyle Arrington, he went to Gwynn Park and played for Dan Hayes, one of my players. They don't mention it, you know. H.D. Wilson has been winning for years and never got the respect that he should. Even spend on them. They have some good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's horrible.
But what do you think a dude that can change that, though, Brooke?
Well, it's the media. So people
mm-hmm.
got to complain to the media what they want. People like us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'll say that people like us, you know, promoting more, getting out here, doing local events, getting the word out so people can listen in to see exactly what it is that we're doing out here, what teams we support, what people we support, and just everybody collectively coming together and pushing that.
Darryl
right.
was a hell of a ball player. He played him and his brother. They were good guys, and they're good fathers right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Glad to have you on the show, man. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate
in.
You, Brooks. All right.
Okay. Love you, man.
We got our next caller we're about to bring in right now. Kill the head, the body, or die. You are now live with Hangman Brooks. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Are you there?
Somebody is
Hello?
It's a lot of chicanery going on in the background. What's up?
How you doing? You live with Hangman Brooks. Let's talk football.
Hello?
Hello?
All right. We're going to have to put him back in the queue. But, yeah, man, that's really a good question that he asked. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
Derek has a lot of – we go back and forth on Facebook, but Derek is racy and right guy. He came up on the sports, and he really knows a lot about sports. So, you know, that was a great question, but the media controls so much.
Yeah, because, like I said, you know what I mean, even when it comes to – The Metro Bulls.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about the Metro Bulls
until, you know
what I mean?
But we did in the 90s, we did get a lot of play.
Yeah.
From the radio, TV, I was on a lot of shows, but guess what? We had a PR man.
Yeah.
PR man.
Yeah.
Stonewalls, they were the team that everybody, tradition and whatever, they already were established, you know. But the Bulls, we were up and coming. So,
nice. Well, here we go. We're going to go back one more time to our caller. Kill the head, the body, or die. You are now live with Hangman Brooks on Let's Talk Football. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? This is Terrence Johnson.
Hey, Terrence, my main man.
All right.
What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Terrence, I was on his radio show last week, you know, the 640 show.
The 640 evening show.
Here's a guy, you know, he played boys club ball for me. He's a real man. Played boys club ball for me. Went to Coolidge, played. With the Morgan State, he played. And now he has his own radio show at St. Albans with my man Cornelius Green, who we're going to have on the show. And Terrence is going to be a co-host a couple of shows. And Terrence,
whenever you need me, Coach, whenever you need
man,
me.
Man, I love
it. I know that's right.
Okay.
I am right now. I'm actually sitting at the desk doing some paperwork, trying to get some stuff together for next Monday's show on WINDC Radio. We're trying to join as many people as possible. You know, and trying to give an opportunity for everybody to be heard. We got music, we got entertainment, we got information. And, you know, we try to give as much help to as many people that are going to be doing this blog talk radio and this internet radio thing, man.
I was on that show last week. It was great. I mean, they had a group on there. Was it Thug Inc.? About helping
Thugs people. Inc.
I mean, I was really impressed. Yeah. Tell us about, when you played for Coolidge. Huh?
Oh, man. Now, I played for Sam Taylor, man, which was an experience in itself. But I learned a lot about football going all the way back from number six and playing for Jarrell Robinson, playing for yourself, going around playing for Owens, and then going up to Silver Spring Boys Club and playing for Coach White, who's at Georgetown Prep now for 1 year. Ended up at Dunbar, where I didn't end up playing. They wouldn't let freshmen play, so then I had to go up to Coolidge, and the next thing I know, I run into the great Sam Taylor, man, and I'm like, why aren't you coaching? He's like, man, it's not enough out there. And I said, you know what? We're going to get enough out there. You got to come on and coach. Two championships later, man, here we are. So, we learned a lot about football, but we learned a lot more about life. And because of people like Samuel Taylor, Coach Brooks right now, rest in peace, Jarrell Robinson, Owens, and all the Boys Club guys, man, that taught us how to play the game, but taught us how to be responsible and show up on time.
Yeah.
Squirrel out now. There you go right there. Now you're digging deep, Coach.
Yeah.
Now you're digging deep.
That was my man. That was my neighbor, Louis Swanswell.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
You know,
he was really dedicated.
We had a lot of that was a truly dedicated man to especially the younger kids that were coming up. A lot of kids came through Squirrel Lock, and he taught them how to play the game and how to get prepared. So, you know, big ups to him, big ups to his memory, you know. We got a chance to play against a bunch of guys, and we ended up beating, and people don't know this. I played from 84, 85, 86, and people don't know we beat H.D. Woodson when nobody else was beating H.D. Woodson.
Well, you absolutely, because Sam Taylor came along and he put together a monster, monster years.
Oh yeah,
it was something else.
We had people like Mark McCutcheon. We had Mark McCutcheon. We had Terry Lewis.
Yeah.
We had Robert Pickett. We had Pat Williams.
Yeah.
We had Dominique Battles, Michael and Billy Strange, and then they moved on with. People like I played my senior year. I played with Sean Chisholm, and we had great teams and guys that were coming behind us. We had big Sean who's one of the offensive linemen. We had Maurice Himes, offensive tackle. Then we had Maurice Shoulder Pad Simpson. You know, we had great players who went to the next level. You know. And we learned a lot.
Yeah. Look, we're going to have to cut you off because Mark McCutcheon is going to be on next. But
all right, tell Mark I said what's up.
Okay.
All right, man. I'm still listening, man. Coach, thank you very much. Have a good one.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
No problem. No problem at all.
Thanks for calling in. You are now live with Hangman Brooks and Let's Talk Football. Who we got online? Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Killer head, the body or die. You are live with Hangman Brooks on Let's Talk Football.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach Brooks.
Yeah.
It is Marty Rich.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
Coach Brooks.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Marty Rich.
What's up, Marty? What's up?
What's happening?
How you doing, man? Marty played with number six with me. He played with the Stonewall for a long time. He also played with me the Metro Bulls. I mean, him and John Warren was two hitting guys. They used to hit so hard in practice that I stopped having a nutcracker drill. And he covered with the best of them. I think he went to Fayetteville State, right?
Correct. You ready with Coach? You got it?
Yeah. So, but he was a hell of a ball player. I was trying to get him to come from over to Stonewall for 2 years, and he finally came over, and he came over and he helped us because we had a lot of good players. We had people hurt, but he thought he wasn't going to start. But he came in and started. We had no problem. Discipline, you know, even keel. You didn't see him get upset, you know. Very seldom he got beat, and if he did, it was no problem.
I know that's right. That's the kind of ball player you are.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just want to say, man, like Coach said, I started with number six. I played 1 year with number six, like I said, John Warren, and I was 105 pounds, man. Coach, I don't think we lost a game that year, Coach.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Oh, I think we lost the game that year,
huh?
Man. And like, I said, I want to say we lost the game that year, Coach. I think we were like, undefeated that year, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, we had some great teams. Hey, we won a championship, and I forgot all about it. my mind is slipping. Well, Marty,
yeah,
glad to have you on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling, man, because like I said, man, you was like a father, man. You raised me, my first coach, man, and my last coach, because I ended up with the Bulls in 1993, man. So it was good building
that
team.
Great job.
I learned a lot from Danny Hayes. You had Mark McCutcheon, man. I mean, that was a great team. I played some football in D.C., and we had some great players in D.C., man.
But
when you came over,
I played against the best. Kids, you was a veteran. You was a veteran when you came over. So it wasn't like you learned a whole lot of people. You've been playing for a long time, so you stepped right in. Glad that you called, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Coach. Take care.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Mark McCutcheon.
Get it like this, living in life, but they all reminisce, never forget it. cooking, I said it. I feel like I'm smarter, but ready, I'm ready. You're fucking pathetic, my headache, you murdered, you're predicate, bitch, I'm ahead of me, yeah. With some job, but I don't wonder why in the hell I'm a red and a dead of me, yeah. I know, no, tag on earth is so predictable. Okay, okay, hold up, let me say, yes, I'll fade away. Fade away, fade away, fade away, fade away. They gon' know my name, I'm still a fatal, fatal.
And we live with the one and only Mark. We are having him come in to talk about this football thing. We lost Mark. Let me get Mark back for you. But if anybody who's catching the show later, just coming in, or I've missed some of the show, we are talking football with the one and only DC legendary Hangman Brooks. And we are also, you know, talking all things, just, you know, reminiscing on the old times of the past and things like that. So we got your boy Mark here. You are live with Hangman Brooks, Killer Head the Body and Die. Let's talk football.
What's Mark, going on, buddy? There? What's up, Brooks?
What's up?
What's up, Coach? I'm here. You got it.
That's
how
my
you?
Main man. My big safety from Tennessee State, Green Bay Packers, Cooters, all everything. And one thing I love about Mark, he could stand my gut. He could stand my gut. Because guess what? I was a pain in the butt. And Mark, man, Mark, with the Green Bay, I'm telling you, he's a big, strong guy. He played some years after with the Metro Bulls. He played with a lot of other teams. Became a linebacker because he's big, powerful. And Mark, what you tell everybody
yes,
what's
sir.
Going on with
you. Hey, man, working hard, staying out of trouble, Brooks. Man, it's always good to hear from you. I always keep up with you in anything you do. Like Brooks said, he used to be a pain in my butt, but he was always one that always get the best out of me. His tactics, man, he would just sometimes come in the locker room, and if we're going against a good receiver or something, if we got a good receiving core we're going against, he'd come in the locker room and just say stuff like, "Hey, McCutcheon, dude just said your mama a hoe." And then, you know, he would just start all these things, man, and next thing you know it, we walking out the locker room so fired up just based on some of the stuff Brooks used to just make up in his head just to get the best out of us that day. So, I mean, he would always, man, always make sure that we was prepared and had that chip on our shoulder whenever we hit the field.
Hey,
but those were the good
old
days.
We had a lot of talent on defense. I'm telling you, we had a lot of talent. It was really a great team. And the thing about it is we just won all the time. I mean, we just kept winning. We kept winning. And went down to Charlotte, got to fight before the game. But guess what? we played Charlotte. After the fight was over, they tried to block the entrance. You know, they warm it up. After the fight was over, Charlotte didn't want to play. But the D.C. mentality we had, we said, "Oh, we just warming up."
Oh, man.
And we went down there and took that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Quarterback Sam got hurt, and we still took that thing. Then they went to the bar, and I won the fight, too.
Woo! Hey.
Absolutely. So let me tell you how that started. Okay. Metro Bulls, we used to say things like we win games in warm-ups. Some people don't even know what that means. When we say we win games in warm-ups, we had such a big team. Our big guys, the guys like Twin and guys like Stretch and Robert Pickett with all them muscles, and you know, we used to come out there in our belly buster shirts and warm up with no jerseys on just to show the other team. We had the biggest guys, you know, guys like Ron, who I had never seen a receiver this big in my life. Y'all think Megatron or something. Now, we had Ron back in the early 90s, who was like 6'2 and a half, 225 pounds, running 4.340s, unheard of. So we would come out the locker room, and sometimes we'll see the other team. We never took the field until the other team was on the field. That was our motto. We ain't taking the field first. So whenever they line up to warm up, our intimidation tactic was we're going to walk through their stretches. We're going to walk through their drills. And we would just walk through, some would run through. But the biggest disrespect you can show a team is walking through their stretches.
Hey, Bob.
Good.
No, I hate to get you, but we get ready to cut it off, man. Call me back this week.
Okay.
We
you got to
be
off.
Call me back again.
Oh,
12-1.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds great. No, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah. So, man, we just had a great show tonight. Man, I wish we had more time. We'll be back at this thing on Wednesday again, and also next Saturday again. Wednesday, 12-1, and Saturday, 7:30 to 8:30.
Great. You know what? Hitting this chicken like Popeye chicken. If the chicken don't kill you, the grease will. See it round like a donut. Thanks for being on the show.